27.6. Thus, I must face the fact that I have been psychotic, and in at least two different ways. One, paranoid skits from late 71 to 374. Two, complete schizo breakdown in 374, lasting a year, during which time I gradually recovered, and not back to the paranoid delusional state that had preceded it, but to anxiety neurosis, my vertigo and depression. However, when my total collapse occurred, i.e., when the metabolic toxin was released for the purpose of destroying the overvalent delusional complex, it worked, and I recovered free of that complex. The misplaced quality of the biological attempt at adaptation to reality did not set in. One reason for this was, perhaps due to experience with psychedelics in the past, that instead of experiencing the episode as weird or fremd or frightening as a collapse of my world, I experienced this collapse of my maladaptive idios cosmos as good, and the vast divine cosmos rushing in as lovely, awe-inspiring, comforting, and transforming. In brief, I had the courage to pass through it and learn, boy how I learned, from it, which is what was supposed to happen. So in a sense, it wasn't a psychotic breakdown, but rather a massive upheaval and reconstruction engineered by the archetype of the Logos, i.e. holy wisdom. The hallucination voice which I heard, the AI voice, was not threatening or evil, but desirable and divinely good. I walked the narrow way, path, bridge, road, that led to sanity, wholeness, individual, health, psychic integration. This was because I had pist, faith in my God, my friend, my Redeemer. Well, 374 was a therapeutic psychosis, and the sibyls, gods, and spirits, and cyclopses, and monsters I saw were archetypes, and not objectively real. This is true. I had a breakdown, and when I recovered, I wasn't paranoid any longer. Is this the real story? It is, yes. But look what I experienced. The archaic world of the gods, who are now gone from our narrow modern world, alas. What was truly nuts was my paranoid delusion complex, which is why the metabolic toxin was released, mescaline-like, to destroy it. The complex was warping me and preventing growth. But the breakdown episode, I was transported out of mundane reality and into the kingdom. Like a little child whose adult ego has been sacrificed. Yes, it was scary, but I loved it. What an adventure into newness it was. As I read North by Northwest, I am filled with loathing and repugnance at that ugly little paranoid pinchinish world. Blech. Most important, my trip was a journey back 2,000 to 3,000 years in time to a fabulous golden Greek age. With no therapist to guide me, with no human guide, just Christ and my cat Pinky, I made it back. I have written down all that I saw, heard, and understood. It was not delusion I found during my trip. It was absolute reality. The delusion was the menacing paranoic dynamism from which the trip to find Asclepios came forth as attempted and achieved solution. 27.11. The koinos is the shared external world. The internal world, which is shared, is, by definition, the collective unconsciousness. Collective and shared mean the same thing. So if you pass from the world molded by your personal ego to a world made up of projected collective archetypes, are you not passing from the idios cosmos to the koinos cosmos? Then schizophrenia is the breaking through of the collective archetypal forms and world. If these archetypes are truly collective, i.e. universal to all men, how can this be a private world? Viewed this way, a mere ego-constructed world is the private world we mistakenly, evidently label as a sane, i.e. normal, rational world. But maybe our entire civilization is wrong. This, i.e. these, multitude of ideoi private worlds are irreal phenomenal worlds and exclude such archetypes, good ones, as divine wisdom, which is why modern man is deprived of God, then we in our multiple idios cosmoi, which exclude the miraculous and divine, have excluded ourselves from the kingdom. This is typical modern Western left hemisphere world and perceiving and thinking. We moderns are half-brained men. We are deformed. And the only place we can turn to for wholeness is the balancing right hemisphere of our own brains, which is where the unconscious is, where dreams and schizophrenia originate. There is a relationship between the kingdom and the right brains. In 374, the metabolic toxin destroyed the paranoid delusional ego in my left brain, and thus allowed right brain dominance for quite some time. This opens up a fascinating possibility, that what we call schizophrenia is an attempt on the part of the total brain to achieve bilateral hemispheric parity, an evolutionary leap forward. And the mechanism of this is the metabolic toxin, which is intended to destroy the left hemisphere ego qua maladaptive complex. But the right hemisphere views the world so archaically that the individual cannot get consensual validation for his replacement perceptions. What is lacking at this stage is coherent personality in the right hemisphere. Perhaps what is necessary is for it to be forming in advance of its disinhibition as a latent form master of evident, i.e. left hemisphere form. The schizophrenic is a leap ahead that failed. 2713. Because of my inability to understand or perceive linear causality, which lack causes the greatest divergence between the way I experience events and the way others do, I can potentially comprehend what they cannot. Orthogonal breaching, e.g., Runciter's message in Ubik, I swear, this culminated, this, in 374, in my visionary perception of Zebra. Within the coordinates of my worldview, this perception of this entity closed off to other people because precisely of their being locked in on linear time, cause and effect is possible given the proper other circumstances, e.g., it being there. But for normal cause and effect percept systems, this miraculousness has to be invisible always, as it does not progress in a linear fashion, but like the light moth superimposes downward from the transcendent super-reality, of necessity opaque to other people. From what I've read, I happen to know that my view is characteristic, to some extent, of the pre-nationalistic scientific medieval world. My view of cause and effect may be characteristic of right-brain thinking, and it may be that in 374, my experience was not a breaking through at unused bright brain centers, but more a final culmination of their prior activity. As if they at least bloomed fully and freely, untrammeled by fossil left brain analogs. What other people are able to discern is efficient cause. I see this imperfectly as witness. 1. My many theories regarding the November 17th break-in, and 2. The way, nonlinear, my books develop. Note. In November 1971, Dick's San Rafael house was burglarized. The intruders used explosives to blow open Dick's fireproof safe. Manuscripts and canceled checks were stolen along with a stereo and a gun. Dick speculated for years about the identity and motivation of the intruders. In many ways, this endless theorizing prefigures 2374 and his writing of the exegesis. Dick would construct an elaborate theory about the burglary, complete with motivation and method, only to cast his carefully crafted theory aside when another entered his mind. From Paul Williams' Rolling Stone profile, it appears that Dick's obsession with the event grew over time and eventually began to take over his life. The most Dickian suggestion was made by the police. Dick had committed the burglary himself. When Dick could no longer get the police to return his phone calls, he fell into another depression, writing to Williams, probably only partially in jest. Ever since the police lost interest in me, there's been nothing to live for. D.G. End note. What I managed to see in 374 was the activity of final teleological cause. Thus, now I can show a relationship between the unusual way I see and have always seen the world, and the apogee experience of 374, at which time I believe enormous final causes were at work. Hence, 1, my stockpile view, and 2, my sense of retrograde entities at work. In normal people, the total supremacy of efficient cause linear VP obliterates any perception of other kinds of cause, and there is only the one other, i.e. final. The entire 374 experience can be understood in terms of my, at that time, being completely, rather than as usual only partly, able to actually distinguish, literally see, final cause at work, and the entity doing it. Hence, I came to say in my UK speech, we see the universe backward. To me, efficient causality is backward. Normally, though, efficient causes probably rule, but not during 74. The teleological force, cause source, seems to be divine. By its very nature, it would be what would awe us as sacred and enormous. It is said to be the Holy Spirit of God or of Christ. Although I have written this insight down calmly, it may be objectively one of my most important discoveries. For I can concretely and precisely now say what I saw and what it was doing and how, i.e. reaching backward into the antecedent universe. So much for any view ever by me that I was merely nuts. 2715. I must make sure in depicting Zebra in the novel to show it working backward in time. 2718. Paul Williams visited today, and I told him about Zebra. I'm beginning to see in my mind's eye Zebra itself, an actual animal, a striped horse, shy and merry and mischievous, half hiding in the forest at the far edge of the Heidi. The sun shining, and Zebra playfully advancing, and then, just when you think he's going to emerge fully and separate himself from the trees, suddenly and unexpectedly, he retreats and absolutely vanishes. You can't coax him out or lure him. You can't get your hands on him. His white is the dazzle of the sun, his dark stripe, the shadows in the glade and forest. Where amid the shadowy green, the little things of the forest live unseen. Ah, Zebra, why really did I choose that name for you? You mythical lovely beast of sun and safe shadow. I saw you once, but can never, as if you are some fabled deity, prove to anyone that you exist. I inform them. I try to take them along with me to the special spot from which I saw you. And you're not there. But I sense the glint in your eye and your smile of understanding amusement. Are you the joy god Dionysus of root and star, of dark forest, and the melting butter gold of the sun? What a psychological symbol Jung would have known you to be, playful and unpredictable, shy, pawing the ground, the sharp hooves, goat hooves. O goat god Dionysus, I recognize you. You are too wise, too experienced with our dangerous race ever to expose yourself to harm at our hands. We would kill and freeze you into stasis, hypostasis, and all your pawing and advancing and disappearing and smile. Light would become dead glass, warm butter only hide, dead, frozen. But this is only your exoskeleton. Inside this form which I glimpse, you are motion and rapid change. Electrons? Sheer bioplasmic energy? I love you. I want to grip you, but you are elusive. But I am not disappointed. You are all the lovely passing persons, things, and events I would want to freeze, to stop dead. Thank God I can't, Zebra. My clutching, hugging, yearning embrace would kill you. My needs kill. My fingers are the claws of the petrified dead, yearning to hold your life. Better this petrified fossil that I am should stay dead, so that you can live on in immortality. Thank you. Thank you for hiding from me. Thank you for your wise caution and your secret smile. Thank you for not staying, but you once told me I'd hear the sound again, the temple bells, bells that you wear, jingling bells. Please, zebra, please, don't wait too long. I am in a lot of pain and can be in more. I want to hear again, hear more. Please. Equis Dei, qui tollis mala fortuna mundi, meus amicus, libera me domini. Note. Latin. Horse of God, who takes away the bad luck of the world, my friend, save me, Lord. An original prayer based on the Latin liturgy. End note. Vater, Hilfe, Ove. Vater, Hilfe, Ove. Vater, Hilfe, Ove. Last night I dreamed about an orchard of trees with pink cherry blossoms. That same pink color of immortality and God. This time as spring. But a man was cutting the branches down. My watch ran backward and sideways. I didn't know the time, and when someone told me it was too late, I thought, it's because Tess isn't here. She kept the time right. But at least I've seen the healing pink again, identified with trees in spring. 27:21. My mental picture of zebra. He is shy and timid and white, and the smile. I saw it that night. I smoked the angel's dust. Dionysus, Erasmus. So Erasmus was zebra, was Dionysus, the joy god. Erasmus introduces the quality of wisdom. 27:37. I think what means the most to me about zebra is that when I saw him, I saw our rightful king, glimmering and darting and flowing like electricity and fire and water. Bruderschaft, der König kommt. Note. German. Brothers, the king comes. End note. And I saw him, powerful now, able to arrange and hence direct events, their outcome, shaping the world, the holy presence, so beautiful and magical. When will he appear to take the throne openly? Kommt, kommt. I know a great secret. He is here. 27:38. Question. Did the great mind enter mine? Or did I enter it? 27:40. I don't think it enters humans all that often, or there would be more experiences of this kind reputed in history, or those people thus assimilated are hip enough to keep it to themselves, forming an invisible true church of the esoteric. I say at this point, it was the uncut stone, flung. I am sure. It did intervene. It does not customarily do this, or we'd know. Or would we? We don't know now. Herewith the mimicry. It disappeared into objects and events, totally. To see it, you had temporarily to be it. I know this because, one, Tessa saw nothing, and two, no one else has said anything. This is why my zebra concept is required. To explain why no one saw, sees, has seen anything. 27:41. The Lost Voices of the Gods. Time, March 14, 1977. On Julian Jaynes, The Origin of Consciousness in the Breakdown of the Bicameral Mind. Man was bicameral until around 2000 BC. He could hear the voices of the gods coming from the speech center of his right hemisphere. Then he lost bicamerality and became monocameral. My theory: the loss of bicamerality is what we call the fall. We could no longer walk and talk with God. Well, to restore bicamerality is now theoretically again possible. Ornstein and Bogen on bilateral hemispheric parity. This forthcoming event will mark the end of the period of the fall. Our sin is self-centered monocamerality. What then are the gods, those who the sibyls at Delphi heard? A higher life form than us. Where located? Here and there, anyhow, our monocameral consciousness must have been a sort of revolt against them. We were cut off. But they still exist, or are back. I heard one or the one. I, in 374, became temporarily bicameral, and in by so doing achieved what Christ sought for us. I entered the kingdom, which equals a restoration of the long-lost bicamerality. We lost it circa 2000 BC. 2000 years later, he came down here, was incarnated here, to restore bicamerality. Maybe something went wrong. He was rejected, his true teaching lost. Now the chance comes again. Santa Sophia, reborn, will teach us how to restore bicamerality. We will no longer be cut off from the gods, nous, God, etc. We will be whole again, not half-men. Jane's theory fills in some vital missing parts. Originally, we possessed bilateral hemispheric parity. I had guessed that. Our right brains are dormant. Bilateral hemispheric parity is not an evolutionary leap upward in one sense. In that sense, it is a restoration. But this time, there will be consciousness, not unconsciousness, in the two hemispheres. So in that sense, it is evolutionary. Anyhow, the state I was in 374, did the right side of the brain produce divine speech? Time's caption asks. The Oracle of Delphi. Wow. I guess I'm a pioneer along with other pioneers in the brain revolution. I've had the bicameral experience, and my theorizing isn't bad either. My exegesis. He, man, became bicameral. The left side of the brain for speech and the right hemisphere produced the inner commands. Eventually, the voices were attributed to kings and gods. But this broke down sometime between 2000 and 1000 BC. Why, Jane's best guess, man was somehow jolted into awareness by social chaos. Vast migration, invasion, and natural catastrophes drove the wedge of consciousness between God and man. Man became modern. Even so, newly conscious man tried desperately to reawaken the silent gods, turning to oracles, seers, etc. In the Old Testament, the voices of Yahweh and prophets grow silent, replaced by subjective men wrestling with unanswered questions. Wow! And to think that as early as my 11th grade physics class, I got an inner answer from the gods, which I had prayed for. Thus, I say, the gods are no longer entirely silent. Bicamerality is resurfacing at last after 3,000 to 4,000 years. Well, Christ, 2,000 years ago, didn't just hear the voices. He was the voice, and will be again.